Blog Talk Radio.
Now we join our regularly scheduled program in progress. This is the Stamp Collectors Quarterly Report show, and this is where we talk about all things stamps and all things sticky. And this is very important for us to meet here and talk about the brand new Forever stamps coming out from the United States Postal Service. I believe they're going to have puppies on them. It's going to be a great stamp for mailing letters or possibly keeping in your drawer, or you could even just stick them on regular items, even though you'd kind of be wasting money. But the new puppy stamp, I believe, it's a brand new Forever stamp, puppy stamp. I think it's going to make waves. It's going to really do a lot of stuff. Now a word from one of our sponsors of the Stamp Collectors Quarterly Show, the Stamp Collectors Book Portfolio Company. That's not right. It takes one to know one.
Insane world.
That's life. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
Damn what anybody thinks of what I've done.
crazy, mad, insane world. It takes one to know one. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Brand new, very long, very big time intro, because we need every single one of those snippets for you to understand what in the you're listening to. Well, let me tell you what you're listening to. I know exactly what you think you're here for, and I appreciate you being here for that show. The show that used to be in this time slot was called Fix the Family, Fix America. That show ended 2 weeks ago. You are feel free to go listen to the final show. Just one show down from today's show in the radio player, and you can hear why and the reasons for this show to be transformed. A little bit of transformation. That opener has a great line in it called "That's Life," and it's how you go through all of the motions of life, whether you desire them to or not. Life is going to bring it to you no matter what your plan. And so things were hitting me left and right and back and forth, and that's why we're here with the Jack Hatfield Show versus Fix the Family, Fix America. So thank you for tuning in. It is going to be one heck of a good time. Normally, you only ever do the whenever you're talking about smoking meat. Because if you are going to smoke some meat, like let's say we're going to smoke some good a beef rib or a good baby back rib, we're going to smoke that. We want to put on a little hickory wood on the grill to give it that flavor. So now you know why that would be said. Just for those tuning in, you can see that I'm sweating. It is scorching, has been a scorching first day of summer. 103 freaking degrees, too hot for me. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. If you like heat like this, you have a problem. You have a problem. But again, we are here. This is the Jack Hatfield Show. We are so glad you're here. We have brand new sponsors coming on board. We've got this show right here will be completely different from all the other shows coming up starting next week. But we've got brand new sponsors coming on board. Very excited about the new show, the new way, the new deal. Not the new deal. You know what I'm talking about. Another thing is this is a complete wiener-free show. We will not discuss anything about the wiener. He has quit, so there's no reason to bring him up. We're gonna come up with lots of other things, though, to make fun of. This show is a little more crazy. We're going to talk about some stuff of why. We're going to revisit why. Only in the show, we're going to revisit why. Some of the reasons we have switched from Fix the Family, Fix America, this show. It's the only show we're going to revisit. And then the rest of the show, we're going to make fun of people. Yes, we are. And here's probably, I think, a really, really big news. Okay? Krispy Kreme Donuts now sells fruit juice, yogurt, and oatmeal. So this is probably the main reason I changed the show right here. I need everyone to understand that I do believe this was foreseen in one of the Bible chapters, as if Krispy Kreme Donuts tries to get healthy, the world is coming to an end. I do think there's something wrong. So it is very important for you to understand that Krispy Kreme Donuts is now... And please grab this. This is hilarious. The company spokesman even said, "We are coming out with healthier fare." We're coming out with Healthier Fare. Let me give you a little fact of marketing, ladies and gentlemen. You've spent, let's say me and you are sitting here at a table and you go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell, well, the newest fare craze, the brand new newest fare craze is deep fried Kool-Aid balls. That's right. The childhood treat, cherry Kool-Aid, now comes deep fried at your fare. Okay, so this is very important. I want you to understand that. So what the guy at the other seat says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become the biggest, bestest seller of deep-fried Kool-Aid balls in the world. So he opens up, you know, Deep Balls store or, you know, something like that. I don't know what he's going to call it yet. I'm going to go sell pencils, okay? So I go on to be, I think the biggest pencil seller in the world is Ticonderoga, okay? So I go on to be as big as Ticonderoga, selling more number two pencils to SAT takers across this whole planet. He goes on to be the largest deep-fried Kool-Aid ball seller in the world. It goes from a fair fad to across the nation on every corner. Right across from Starbucks is his deep baller place. Right? So you got Starbucks on the left, and you got the deep Kool-Aid balls on the right. Right? So Starbucks left, Cool Balls on right. And he's across from every Starbucks. Now, you know there's a Starbucks about every 32 feet, I believe. I believe that's the mandate. So every 32 feet, there's now a deep-fried Kool-Aid balls plant store. And his whole life, he spent, you know, I'm selling deep-fried Kool-Aid balls. And guess what everyone goes to his store for? That's right. You're exactly right. They go there because he makes good hamburgers. Krispy Kreme has lost its mind. If you're going to try to sell yogurt, fruit juice, and oatmeal, change your name, become another company, do something else. Everyone's going to see that Krispy Kreme with the green and white dots, okay, and the crown, because they're the king of donuts. That's why they have a crown on their logo, king of donuts, right? Even Dunkin' Donuts, grasp this, even Dunkin' Donuts, a direct competitor of Krispy Kreme donuts, right? They conceded that they are not the donut king. So Dunkin' Donuts went out and said, we have the best coffee. So now you go to Dunkin' Donuts for coffee, you drive across the street for Krispy Kreme donuts. Isn't that weird? No one goes to Starbucks. because Starbucks is now selling eggs and on a bagel or something. It's very strange. It's very, very strange. So while we saw this coming, we decided that since the end of the world is very close, we might as well start making a lot of fun of it. And that's what we're doing. So again, welcome to the Jack Hatfield Show. We'll be right back after a little Blackwater song.
Satisfy you.
going to notice lots of new stuff coming up on this show, where I have one of the largest libraries of songs that you've ever seen. No, I'm not talking about some guy that went and stole a hard drive full of the last 100, top 100 songs of the last 50 years. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I have purchased, actual, own, these are mine, songs over a span of 4 years since I'm only 18. I don't know why I was thinking that it would be... I don't know why I was thinking it'd be as long as I thought, because you only start being able to drive to the mall, you know, somewhere around 15, I believe, during the day, legally. So I've been doing it for my regular listeners just fell out of the floor because they've seen me and they go, yes, that's why he's on the radio. Oh, okay, so let's do something hilarious. You know what I do need? I need more than anything is a light in the studio. Because I do this in the dark, mainly because there's a reflection when I have light on and I have to see myself, and that's horrendous. One of those flashlight thingies would be great. That's no, that would not be good at all. That right there is not. Not good at all. But if we could find a flashlight thingy, that'd be good for now. Let's go into something I wanted to go into real quick. I wanted to talk about, I don't know about you, but recently I've watched the Kentucky Derby. Okay? And then I watched the Belmont. And, I mean, the Preakness and then the Belmont. And those are always fun. And we party for as much as we can with those when those horse races go on. It's really fantastic. And I haven't been able to talk about those on Fix the Family, Fix America, because horse races and any sports really had nothing to do with that topic, which is, you know, another reason you're now on the Jack Hatfield Show and we're going to talk about some crazy stuff. So I went in and I said, you know what, jockeys, it seems to me, and I'm not, please, jockeys, I understand that you have to ride the horse to the horse's greatest ability. You have to push that horse to drive when it's time, to hold him back to when it's not time, and all kinds of big stuff. I mean, there's a lot you have to do. You have to hit him on the right side, and you have to hit him on the left side sometimes as well. And then, of course, you use your feet, you know, to tell him to go. And then sometimes you have to pull on the rein or pull left or pull right or whatever, you know. I know there's a lot to it is what I'm saying. So I went in search for what – has there ever been a really bad jockey? Because it seems like every one of them, you know, ride the horse unless the horse falls. Has there ever really been one that's not really good? And I found one. His name – he's been the worst. He's been labeled the worst jockey. His nickname's Iron. And he was the Duke of Albuquerque. Did you know this? His name was Beltran, and you know these jockeys, they all have these nice names. I'm not lying. His name was Beltran de Osorio y Diaz de Rivera. Okay? Beltran de Osorio y Diaz de Rivera. He was the Iron Duke of Albuquerque. I'm just giving you this tidbit that I find along the way during the week. And, of course, if you follow me on Twitter, you could get some of these because I can't tweet everything I find, mainly because some of them are in the bathroom and the tweet would smell bad. So what I'm trying to do for you is give you the times that I was unable to tweet this information, mainly because it's a little longer than the 160 characters Twitter has limited the world at, which is not going to affect anybody's writing skills or communication skills in any way, I'm sure. Anyway, Beltran de Osorio y Diaz de Rivera, the Iron Duke of Albuquerque, all right, he developed an obsession with winning England's Grand National Steeplechase horse race. Now, I do believe that is the equivalent of the Kentucky Derby over here, over there. Over here, over there. So anyway, he wanted to win that when he was only 8 years old after receiving a film of the race as a birthday present. He told his family, I said then that I would win that race one day. I don't know why he channels John Kennedy, but you see what I'm saying. So on his first attempt in 1952 to win England's Grand National Steeplechase horse race, he fell from his horse and he woke up later in the hospital, meaning he did not, he fell, excuse me, he fell and obviously fell asleep and he woke up in the hospital with a cracked vertebrae. So, first attempt didn't go well, but again, as in life, and as I tell all of my listeners when I do speaking and seminars and stuff, I say, you got to get back up on the horse. You got to try to ride it again. So, you know, he in 1963, he waited 11 years for his vertebrae to heal. That's very important. I mean, you know bones take time, okay? So, he tried again in 1963, and he had the odds. If you're a gambling person in the horse race land, he had the odds of 66-1. The problem was he had the odds of finishing the race still on his horse. Meaning it wasn't the odds to win, it was the odds to remain on the horse. So apparently the vertebrae causing some grappling issues with his leg muscles or his arm muscles, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, he did fall from his horse there. He fell in 1963 as well. So that didn't go well. Sorry, I had to take a pause. I mean, I am talking a lot. You guys are not talking very much at all, which is good because if you were, you wouldn't be listening. He tried again 2 years later. He only waited 2 years because the fall didn't kill him or hurt him or break anything. So. He raced again in 1965, and again, bad luck has befallen on the Duke of Albuquerque, and he fell from his horse after it collapsed underneath him. So really, really, it wasn't his fault. The horse collapsed underneath him, and he broke his leg this time. So that's not good. So now he has, you know, a healed cracked vertebrae, which is obviously hurting his ability to hang on to the horse. And he broke his leg. So he had to wait a little while again for that. Because if his vertebrae took 11 years to heal, you know the leg's got to take 9 at least. So 9 years later, it's exactly right. 9 years later, having had just 16 screws removed from a leg, he had broken again after falling in another horse race. That was not the Grand National. So he was practicing, okay? He was in another horse race 9 years later, and he was getting ready for the Grand National, and he fell, and he had 16 screws removed from his leg so that he could get into the Grand National, okay? Now, the problem is he was training for that Grand National with his brand new healed leg, right? Training for that Grand National, and he fell while he was training and broke his collarbone. Now, this is bad. Now, he actually recovered in time to join. It was like a Rudy moment. I mean, he came on. He's got his plaster cast on his collarbone, and he's going to hold on to the horse. And apparently that cast, they molded it to where he had a death grip on the horse's neck, and he actually finished the race. While he was still on the horse. And this is the only time he ever finished a Grand National race on his horse. Understand? So far. So he had to break his collarbone, and they engineered a cast to where he had the death grip on the neck. And so they just kind of hooked him in. You know how you kind of, you know, lock something in? So they kind of hooked him in with that plaster cast, and he finished on his horse. So he's getting better. Is what I'm trying to say. Now, 2 years later, he fell again during another race. And this time he fell as he was kind of in the lead. So that wasn't good, though, because other horses were behind him and didn't see him. So they trampled all over him. And he broke 7 ribs and some more vertebrae and a broken wrist. a broken thigh, and he had a severe concussion which left him in a coma for 2 days, which is, if you think about it, pretty good because he's got a lot of broken problems, and in a coma they can do a bunch of stuff while you're not screaming about it. So I see the positive here. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to help you. Now, he recovered from what I just said. He recovered, and he said he was going to try it one more time to win that grand national race, his childhood dream. Remember, he proclaimed to his entire family, this makes me tear up. When he was only 8 years old, he said he had a dream. And so he recovered from all these broken ribs and thighs and wrists and concussions. And he said he was going to try it again. And you know what? It's called suppression. There's no more freedom. Race organizers pulled his license for his own safety. That's not right. He was going to get back on the horse. He never did win that Grand National as he promised he would, but he did break another record. He broke more bones trying to win it than any other jockey in history ever. So what I'm trying to say is getting back on the horse can be painful. And especially if you don't lock it in. You get what I'm saying, right? Excellent. We'll be right back. Jack Hatfield Show. A previous version of this program about Fix the Family, Fix America kind of stuff. And one of the things we brought up was that Superman was going to denounce his American citizenship. Okay, and we discussed that at length, and I'm not going to go into it now because I want to finish my libation, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, without having to taste the full vomit in my mouth. But I'm going to tell you about this thing anyway. On the other side, the Marvel comic side, the side that doesn't really matter, wow, half of the country, not half, a quarter of the, no, a tenth of the comic book reading nation just went, hey, that's not nice. that's because Marvel has got hits with movies and stuff that really have, like, X-Men, Spider-Man, and Thor should be good. But they've just been around a while since they were the first. Stan Lee's come up with a lot of, how do you say copycat? Never mind. Anyway, Spider-Man will be killed, ladies and gentlemen. He's dying in Ultimate Spider-Man number 160. That goes on sale tomorrow, so go out and get it, and that way they'll sell 50 million copies, and it'll be worth $5.32 in 262 years. Okay, very important. The person writing this, Brian Bendis, called Parker's death truly heroic and sacrificial, adding that it brings Peter Parker's story full circle, since his crime-fighting career was spurred by his failure to prevent his Uncle Ben's mother. Now, the reason I brought up Krispy Kreme selling yogurt was really It's the same as frogs coming down from the sky, I think, but not as bad in the scheme of things, I'm pretty sure. But here's the problem. The guy who's writing this story says Parker will never be brought back. He's going to die. Spider-Man will die. You can hear this pompous little guy killing off this character going, he's going to die, and this is the last hurrah. This is it. There's a real point to this, and the point doesn't work if we don't stick to our guns. In fact, Marvel editor-in-chief Axel Alonso said that the death paves the way for a new character to claim Parker's arachnid alter ego this fall. Now, I don't know about you, but when Spider-Man was created, he was created because there was this tremendous, all of the stars aligned to put a nuclear, what do you call it? Nuclear station inside a spider's butt. They put a nuclear reactor inside a spider's butt. I do believe it, that's the way it went. And the spider fell down onto Peter Parker and bit him and gave him spider powers. And I do believe in the story, Spider-Man went, ow, and slapped him and killed the spider. Pretty sure that's what happened. So how does a new guy suddenly just come up with spider powers? Oh, wait. Alonzo says there's going to be a brand new Spider-Man in a brand new costume who would make his debut in Ultimate Comics Fallout in August, before taking over Ultimate Spider-Man in September. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. No one's immune. No one's immune. But if you still like Peter Parker, remember he still has his own comic book called Amazing Spider-Man, where he will still be alive. But Ultimate Spider-Man, he's dead. He's toast. Tough. Tough to be a hero. Not good. Not good at all. Now, I want to throw something at you. One of the things that I want to talk about, because it's the Jack Hatfield Show, and that's about what we're going to talk about. is, you know, stuff I want to talk about. Is this book that intrigued me by Lisa Bloom. It's called Think. It's called Straight Talk for Women to Stay Smart in a Dumbed Down World. Now, what it is, I do believe, is it was a slam on women that she went and asked. All right, she found out that women were excelling in education at every level, but they're also obsessing over celebrity lifestyles and tabloid media, leaving many of them, she went out and questioned, okay? Many women were unable to name a single branch of government, okay? But every one of them was able to name at least one Kardashian sister, okay? She says in her book that females are outperforming male counterparts in employment in urban areas for the first time in history. Yet spending more time and money on our appearances, including electing life-endangering plastic surgery and record-breaking numbers. So they're straight-A high school girls that are believing it's more important to be hot than smart. Now, I found this intriguing for two reasons. One, I have beat on the father to death, and with Father's Day just three days past, okay, I have beat on how crappy fathers have been for years now on this show. What? 2 days passed. Father's Day was 2 days ago. I found it hilarious, okay, that well, Well, there's a reason to beat on fathers, because a lot of them are really, really, really not smart. This lady found out that even though women are smart, she found out women, you know, women are working more, making more money, doing more. They're also not learning about things that would make them, you know, historically learning, the government branches, that kind of thing. Now, Lisa Bloom, understand, is the daughter of women's rights attorney Gloria Allred. So, and she talks about her family and stuff. But she really, really says that to fix this problem, and the problem she says is, how did we get from Equal Pay Act and Title IX to celibatainment and Botox, and more importantly, what can we do about it? So she's very nervous that straight-A high school girls believe it's more important to be hot than smart as they giggle into television cameras because they don't know how many sides a triangle has, nor in which country Mexico City is located. So she found that to be a problem, and yes, I find it as well to be a problem. So what, again, prompted me for this radio show to change was that, you know, I beat up on fathers a lot. Me being a father that I think really has been involved in my child's life, written two books about it, working on a third one, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Wait till you hear the news about that book and tour and seminar series. Oh my. Wait till you see it. We are taking pictures for the banner on the website here in the next week or two. And it's just going to be amazing. I can't wait. It's going to be stunning. Anyway, let's talk about this. All right. So, so this book, I'm going to be delving into this book as the weeks progress. Okay. Cause I can't talk about this book constantly. Because there are some paragraphs that make you want to throw the book to the road. And then there are some paragraphs that make you go, wow, that shouldn't be a thing. So she said in one generation, women have gotten smarter and dumber. Okay? She says as we journey through the troubling lack of thinking in our country today, did you notice that it was women that gave a lot of the dim-witted answers to Jay Leno and the Australian Stupid Americans interview? She looked for general examples of dumb Americans, and to her chagrin, she found that men ended up being women. Okay? She said she loved to get behind the trademark phrase, girls rule. Okay? But what she found were all the giggly, silly girls she kept finding. They were easily persuaded that the Eiffel Tower was in Australia, and they weren't even sure if America was even in the Vietnam War. And then she goes on to state, you know, why women are superior. So she doesn't just beat on you. She tries to help you out. She says, you now score higher overall in achievement tests in elementary school, middle school, high schools. In every state at each of the three levels tested, girls read more proficiently than boys compared to 65% of boys. 72% of girls graduate from high school, and the gap is even wider for teens of color. The National Honor Society says 64% of our honorees are girls. Okay? The average high school grade point average is 3 for girls and 2.86 for boys. Women receive 58% of the bachelor's degrees in this country, right? And half of the professional degrees, okay? You get this? They're leaving, you guys are leaving boys in the dust in the academic area. Now, what she's saying, as girls got smart, smart got out of style. What got in style, ladies and gentlemen? Can anyone tell me? You know what got in style? Celebutainment. That's right. Celebutainment. There's a star. I won't say her name, but it's a city in France, followed by a hotel. So I'm pretty sure it's Palisades Holiday Inn, right? Pretty sure. Is famous strictly for being idolized by media, which again then follows her being idolized by girls, right? So with that media putting on a hotel, Holiday Inn, let's not bust on Holiday Inn. What's a really crappy hotel? Motel 6? Let's bust on that. This is why we've come to the point, as she says, 25% of American women age 18 to 34 would rather win America's Next Top Model than the Nobel Peace Prize, and 22% would rather lose the ability to read than their figures. That's a stunning, stunning statistic. I don't know what I would exchange for the lose the ability to read versus something. It would have to be daughter. Lose your daughter or the ability to read. Well, duh. But, I mean, if it's like, you know, you lose your sink or the ability to take a shower or the ability to read, I'll just wipe down often. Which is what I'm about to do in a few minutes anyway, so be glad we're on the radio. Because this is not a clean wipe down that I'm doing right here. This is a wipe down with it's a brand new wasp nest that I found outside, and it had some goo in it. So I was thinking about wiping myself down with it, because that's weird. Heidi Montag, you know, has obsessed over her body, and people actually know her more than they know the branches of government. Montag, she's obsessed with plastic surgery. She actually had 10 procedures in a day. Some of her procedures have been her buttocks augmentation, boob job touch-up, nose job touch-up, chin reduction, liposuction in her neck, liposuction in waist and thighs, mini brow lift, Botox in her forehead, fat injections in her cheek and lips, and pinning back her ears. So she's done all that, and guess where she is? The front page of the news. So, is it suffice to say the media is kind of helping this along? And we're going to get into more and more of this book and other books like it as we go. We're going to look into books, a book, every show. We are going to look into books because the old motto of Fix the Family, Fix America was to put the world in order, you must put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, you put the family in order. But to do that, you must first cultivate your personal life. Now, I attempted, thinking naively, I'm sad to say that I was thinking naively that I could skip the cultivate personal life part, thinking that everyone liked family and desired families and desired values and morals and all that good stuff. But again, you can listen to my last show and see that this is not true. In fact, let's just go over something real quick. Okay? I could have, if I was doing that show, I could have said the mom of the week would be this mother that burned her disabled baby daughter alive after giving her an overdose and putting her in a bag, which the bag was then set fire. Okay? So I could have said that as mom of the week on the old show. But we're not going to do stuff like that on this show. So again, this is the only show we're going to go back and do a little review right here. This is it. Now, the problem I have with, you know, we had world, nation, family, personal life, is I attempted naively again to start at family, thinking that everyone would get to that point. The problem is there's an awful lot of people that will never reach that point if we don't do something right at the tip. Fix the Family, Fix America is not gone. I have founded that, and it is always going to be there, and we are still going to do stuff with it constantly. We still have our seminars. We're getting ready to do a Make a Difference Mothering seminar very soon. But I want you to grasp this. Let's go down the level. A mother like this, the mom of the week, puts her baby in a bag, poured gas on it, and lights it on fire. Her defense was the baby was already dead from an accidental overdose of painkillers, which she administered. If that mom doesn't love her baby enough to not do that, then we've got to step back. This is a serious portion of the show, but I need you to understand why. In fact, before we get too deep in this, I want you to take a break. And I know exactly what we all need before we do that. Be right back. Jack Haslett. Let's come right back to it. Let's get serious one more time. Again, world, nation, family, personal. I set out to fix family. Still are, still am. Don't fret. The show, however, is coming out to absolutely not call you Mom of the Week if I ever talk about this stuff again, but to call you a waste of a human. To call you a POS, and that's not point of sale. Because if you can't, as a person, grasp the fact, this is funny. I just did this chapter in my new book. If you can't understand that every single child is an opportunity to get it right, you know, I have this story that I read this morning about sextuplets. This mother of six really tried hard to give birth to all of her children before the end of Father's Day. Okay? She actually gave birth to six children in 3 minutes. Five girls and a boy. All are healthy. Their names are Abby, Brooklyn, Chloe, David, Ellie, and Faith. Okay? They were born in Alabama. In Birmingham, Alabama. The babies are all great. They look wonderful. She gave birth to the sextuplets after a month of strict bed rest, including her 30th birthday. They arrived in a space of just 3 minutes on Father's Day, okay? That's incredible. The mother was eating 6,000 calories a day to feed those babies. How many celebutards would eat that many calories to make sure their children are healthy? The mother, by the way, is 5'2" tall. She was described by the gynecologist in Birmingham, proudly described by the gynecologist in Birmingham as country tough. I don't call it country tough. I call it doing what you got to do. You know what else was cool? The team of 51 medical staff which brought these babies into the world rehearsed the delivery 6 times. They rehearsed the delivery of these sextuplets 6 times, and today, after being born on Father's Day as sextuplets, all of them are off their ventilators and doing well. That's beautiful stuff. Here's my problem with the reason why we had to move down one. Okay? Again, trying to reiterate why we changed. Real quick, I got to tell you this. Abby, born at 8:05. Brooklyn, born at 8:06. Chloe came out same minute. David, 8:07. Ellie comes out the same minute. Faith, born at 8:08. That's right, span of 3 minutes. And before all of you sit around and go, why she got to have so many? They struggled for years to have children. She's had 4 miscarriages before being diagnosed with polycystic ovaries. So don't look at this as just some wanton desire to have children. They've been wanting to have children, and they are now blessed with 6 of them. And you know what? They said we've had a hard enough time with one, because they did have one before. But they looked at each other. You've got a maintenance mechanic at a paper plant as the father. and the 6,000-calorie Country Tough Mom, and they said, we'll manage. Now, here's the problem. Here's why we're talking about the story at all, other than it being a sextuplet miracle. And, of course, anything with the word sex in it is fun to say. The pathetic thing that I'm talking about is that we talked about the mother of the week who burns her child in a paper bag, okay, lights it on fire, and then we talk about the people who I just told this sextuplet story to, and in their mind went, oh, God, how are you going to take care of six? Oh, that would be horrendous. Okay? Not only that, how about the people that are listening to that story and they go, oh, stupid biatch shouldn't be bringing in six kids in this world. They're going to eat more food. They're going to breathe more air. They're going to be ecological disasters. How about the females that listen to that story and go, I would never eat 600 calories for my children? And how about some of my listeners, my healthy listeners, sitting there going, 6,000 calories? Hell, I ate that in the first, as your opener played. Because we have one of the longest openers in radio history. What I'm saying is we no longer put children on the pedestal that they need to be. So I can't fix the family completely unless the family wants to be fixed, in which Fix the Family, Fix America will be a crucial component. But I've got to step back one and start working on you idiots, mothers of the weeks, dads of the weeks, and parents that suck, and figure out what in the happened to make you not see a child as a miracle, to make you not understand why you need to be who you are, to make you not understand why you don't want to go and be the best you can be, to try to figure out what's in the mindset of the person that's happy with settling for something, to try to understand the mindset of the person that's never pushing themselves to a limit, to try to understand the mindset of someone scared to succeed. So I'm going to bring you stories like this. Gabrielle Nelson Klaus was born 3 months ago. No, excuse me. Was born the other day. He was born Friday. He was born Friday, 5 days ago. Gabriel Nelson Klaus was born on Friday. All right? He was born. He has 6 sisters and 3 brothers, I do believe. Okay? Christina 11, Isabel 9, Brady 7, Hannah 6, Heidi 4, 9-month-old Samantha. Okay? And 3-year-old Lee. So Gabriel Nelson Klaus, born on Friday, comes out to the joy of all his siblings. No, he doesn't. You know why? because the Klaus's family farmhouse burned to the ground on March 8th, killing 7 children. Only 3-year-old Lee, who ran out to warn her mother of the blaze, survived. The mother was milking cows in the barn to bring milk to the house, and the father was napping in the delivery truck between his 2 jobs to make ends meet for his family. Heavily pregnant Mrs. Klaus then ran into the house through the flames, got burns on her body to try to save her children, but the flames were too fierce, as the farmhouse was, of course, wooden. Following that blaze, that close-knit community raised more than $100,000 and built the family a new home across the road where their farmhouse once stood. They moved into their new home in May, and like I said, on Friday, they gave birth to their new future, who had 7 more siblings than he used to have. But the family is pleased that the new son has arrived. That's not family. That's personal. The mother and the father, when the times got tough, they could have quit and went home. Well, they couldn't go to their home. They could have quit and went to another home. But when the going got tough, they could have said, no, I'm done. But in other words, they're saying it's a bittersweet moment. We are happy that we have our new child. Life rolls at you regardless of the plan. How you adapt to each situation is important. Mom of the week burns her kid. These two parents who lost 7 of their children in a fire welcome their newborn son on Friday. Every time you have something hit you, whether it be good luck or bad luck, that's called life. You can call it good luck and bad luck, but guess what it's called? Life. It's another reason why I never understood someone saying, I won't change. Well, guess what's going to happen tomorrow? Something's going to change. The problem is you're not very specific when you ask for that change. Because I can guarantee you that you come home and 7 of your children are burnt in a fire. That's change. That's a hell of a change. I'm sure it wasn't the change they would have asking for. But if you come home and you've been mailing off this sweepstakes for the last 45 years and you come home and you find out you won, that's a hell of a change. But it's one you've been working on. Life rolls. And so a lot of people say, good luck. Well, the guy looking at you who just won it, he says, I filled out this sweepstakes card every Saturday for the last 45 years. I pretty much made my own luck. So it's not luck. It's life. Now, on Fix the Family, Fix America, thank goodness, we have always had an incredible lady over across the pond. Her name is Adele Amani. She joins us every week. Her segment is called Adele's Magnificent or Magic Minutes. And she's going to give you a small break from the abrasiveness and atrociousness of everything I'm talking about. And this is her latest one, brand new, never heard before. So be happy that you're getting this, and we'll be right back with some more Jack Hatfield Show.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. I'm Adele Amani, the UK's expert in energetic communications. And through these minutes, I desire to bring answers to all the questions being asked about bringing wealth, success, love, and happiness into your life. And this can be a very easy process or a very difficult one, depending on what you're prepared to do. You see, this all depends on how you look at things. And I know for a lot of people, the idea that you just think of what you desire and it turns up really doesn't do an awful lot for you. And to be honest, it's not really as easy as that. But it does come down to the way that we think. And it is all controlled by our thoughts, although there is a lot of work, there is a lot of exercising that needs to be done in order for you to attract anything that you desire. It doesn't just come from the thoughts, there's a lot more involved. Now, I've been through quite a few life experiences in this lifetime, you know. I mean, I've brought up 4 children on my own. I've lived on virtually nothing bringing them up, and I created a career in corporate finance which lasted 10 years and moved from that almost back down to nothing again to create the business that I now help people in. And this was all done once I realized that actually I controlled every situation that came into my life. Every time I would have a situation that I absolutely hated, that I felt desperate to get out of, I was actually attracting more of the same types of situations and people into my experiences. And it wasn't until I mentally, physically, spiritually decided that I was going to take control, that I was going to be the creator of everything that I desired, did things start to change. And I did this not only by focusing on my desires as if they were already here, but there was a lot of other things that came in, a lot of strategies and techniques that I've now learned over these years, which I now teach people, because I don't want people to spend 25 years figuring out how to make a good life. I want them to do it now. And part of this is that the emotions you have to be right, because above everything else, your thoughts are powerful energy vibrations, but your emotions are incredibly high energy vibrations. And you can have a thought of being abundant and wealthy, but if your emotions are still set in being in lack and saying, oh, it's never going to happen, I can't do this, I'm no good, I'm useless, then that is where you will attract from, not from the thought of being in abundance. And it's very, very important, and first and foremost, is to define who you are, and is to know who you are, to be comfortable, to be confident with who you are, and that's where all the attraction starts from. On another aspect of it, which you may find odd, but abundance comes through contribution and service to others, because it's when we are living to help others, when we're living to make sure that other people are happy, we let go of lack. We let go of restriction and thinking that we're not capable of doing things. because we're focusing on making sure that other people have that helping hand and are being able to do what they desire in life. Now, in doing that, we actually create the environment to attract the same into our experiences. So for all the help we give others, we actually attract all of that back to us. We attract back the love that we send out to other people. We attract that love back to us. And so when we feel abundant in giving our time to people, not only giving our time, but also appreciating service that we've received and paying for that service, we receive payment back. It's very much, it takes a lot of, really does need a lot of change in the way you think. But if you can do that, you are well on your way to having an abundant life.
There is the glory that is Adele Omani, ladies and gentlemen. She has been saying things over in the UK that we are going to talk about, and she's working, she's already on point one. World, nation, family, you. Not you, the listener. You know you. The one you see out there. The idiots and freaks. Well, wait a minute, I like freaks. Because I make sounds only other freaks can hear. I actually have a sticker that says this. So it's not that bad. But what I'm talking about is that you know those people out there. In fact, mom of the week burns her own child. Not good stuff. But this goes back and forth. And sometimes in doing your own stuff, you are hit with negative life experiences, and you have to get up and do it again, or quit. And I'm certain you don't want to be a quitter. So that's the reason you're listening to the brand new, the ultimate awesome show, the Jack Hatfield Show.
Oh, give a damn what anybody thinks of what I've done.
Crazy, mad, insane world. It takes one to know one. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
On the new Jack Hatfield Show, we're so glad you are here for the second hour. Now, this show, this first one, just giving you a little heads up and a little review. Why we're no longer Fix the Family, Fix America. We are the Crazy and Insane Jack Hatfield Show. Little review. We are going into that. This show is completely different from all the other shows. We are going to be talking about stuff because understand that life is going to roll your way no matter what your plan is. But I know for a fact every one of you are now going to plan to be here every week. You don't have to listen live, but you need to listen every week. This is the big stuff. This is awesome. Awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff. Let's go over some of the, one of the reasons why we're not Fix the Family, Fix America, because we would have talked about another mom of the week who brutally killed her 5-year-old son after he broke her television set when he was playing his Nintendo Wii. Now, the Nintendo Wii has a controller that you use in motion, like real, your motion moving. For those of you who have lived under a rock or an idiot, I'm giving you the explanation of what's happening here. A kid, a 5-year-old, is playing a game holding a remote that's designed for him to move back and forth. So if he's playing a game that requires him to do a lot of stuff, suddenly he's throwing things and moving and it slips from his hand and hits the TV and breaks it. Now, I'm positive that every single human being that's ever owned a Wii has held on to the controller in all aspects, right? No, of course not. Any person that's ever watched anyone play with a Wii, one of their first thoughts should be, wow, I hope I don't get hit with their body and or hand and or Wii controller. Anyway, not trying to make light of this tremendously terrible subject. Kim Crawford, the mother, told police she beat her son, Jamar Johnson, harder than I have ever hit him. Before leaving him to suffer in pain for a week at her apartment. She went to work, did all her stuff, lived her life normally. He suffered severe internal injuries, vomiting, complaining of terrible pain for 5 days. She refused to take him to the hospital for fear of arrest. When she finally called the cops, she told them that she became ill overnight and he must have got up and injured himself falling over the park while playing. After intense interrogations, he eventually said she beat the crap out of him. Five days later, After he complained of constant pain, she did say, he wasn't moving. Ladies and gentlemen, I just told you about a mother who burns her child in a bag. And then I tell you about a mother who kills her kid because her TV's broke. Children are no longer on the pedestal they should be on. So we're going to step back one and see what we can do with the point of the pencil. World, nation, family, idiots. That's it in a nutshell. All right, so what is some big news that we would normally talk about on the brand new Jack Hatfield Show? Well, let me tell you, one of the fun things I would talk about is all of these new graphic warnings that's going to come out on cigarettes. It actually has to take up half of the label on the cigarette on one side, okay? In fact, the FDA, because they got the ability now to regulate the tobacco industry just 1 year ago, they came out with 9 brand new labels, which include phrases like smoking can kill you. Oh, wait, smoking can kill you, not smoking will, because smoking can. Again, because it can't be proven. Cigarettes cause cancer, and that's another phrase, must be on cigarette packages and in advertisements starting in October 2012. The graphic images, like one of them, like a mother holding a baby child, where it says, warning, tobacco smoke can harm your children. Okay? Other graphic images, such as rotting and diseased teeth and gums on the pack of cigarettes. How about the man with the tracheotomy smoking cigarettes? He has a hole in his neck. They have a picture of the man with a hole in his neck. Says, warning, cigarettes are addictive. How about the man sitting there with an oxygen mask over his face, and it says, warning, cigarettes cause strokes and heart disease. How about the picture of the premature baby in an isolette, and it says, warning, smoking during pregnancy can harm your baby. How about the picture of the regular lung on left? Beautiful, ugly, ugly, tarred lung on right, where it says, warning, cigarettes cause fatal lung disease. How about the warning that has the diseased gum, 3 missing teeth, and all kind of rotted teeth, where it says, cigarettes cause cancer? Or how about the warning of the guy with the staples over his heart because they had to do open heart surgery, where it says, warning, smoking can kill you? Or how about the girl crying, tears running down her eyes, and it says, warning, tobacco smoke causes fatal lung disease in non-smokers. Or how about the warning with the guy with an I Quit shirt proudly opened up like Superman, where it says, warning, quitting smoking now greatly reduces serious risk to your health? Which one of those is going to cause you to stop smoking? I'm not asking you people that don't like smoking which one would keep you from smoking. I'm not asking anybody who's never touched a cigarette. I'm talking about you smokers out there. When you go to buy your pack in the next year and it's got one of those pictures on it and it says, this is really bad. Which one of those would make you stop smoking? Because we've already had cigarettes, quitting smoking greatly reduces health. We've already had that on cigarette labels, right? Now, Canada, from now on, every time I say Canada, there will be laughter. Canada put similar warnings like this on their cigarette labels in 2000, and what they said was their smoking rates have declined from 26 to 20%. But then they also said, well, the warnings might not have contributed to the decline because we also implemented other tobacco control efforts. Here's a dirty, little, disgusting, rotten secret. Much like the diseased teeth or the broken lung picture on the cigarettes. If all of these were true about any other product on earth, it would be banned from you buying it. If they in fact, the FDA stops things all the time. Just the other day, the FDA stopped a high blood pressure medicine because it was causing cancer. In other words, took it off the market because it showed it caused cancer. Well, I hate to tell you that number 9 of the teeth, the diseased teeth and the cut on the not the cut, but the rotting flesh of the lip. It says, warning, cigarettes cause cancer. If they could prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, it would be banned. Would it not? If all of these warnings were true on any other product, that product would be banned. Here's the disgusting, funny part of this. Why don't they just ban it? Why don't they just ban it? Get this, the FDA, all these half-pack warnings, okay? They have to be at the top of the pack. Can anyone, other than cigarettes, can anyone tell me any other product where any other government entity has said you can't say what it is, we're going to have to put something else on the front? Anyone? Does anyone else have as much issues with this, okay, as I think? Because if they have found and the FDA has come out and said eating McDonald's is bad, why wouldn't they put a big old half store label on a McDonald's? Anyone? If the high blood pressure drug caused cancer, why, instead of taking off the market, why didn't they just put on there on every single prescription of this going, hey, you'll when you pump your arm it's gonna look great, but then you're gonna die in a little while. And take up half the label. It has to make you wonder. If something was absolutely this bad, why would it not be banned? Why would we go over a man with stapled heart surgery saying smoking can kill you as he's laying on the bed? Guess what else has to go on the pack? Copyright USHHS, United States Health and Human Services, along with the number 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Now, also, if there's an ad for a cigarette, the warning label must take up 20% of the ad. Their estimate that these new labels will reduce the number of smokers by 213,000 by 2013. That's their estimate. So, they're thinking dead bodies, diseased lungs, man's on ventilator, and a guy smoking a cigarette through a hole is going to make people stop smoking. I'd love to see a cigarette smoker and ask them which one would make them quit. I really would. I'd like to hear which one of these nine pictures would make a person go, you know what, I'm done. Let me tell you what is going to increase in sales once these packs go on the market. It'll be a cigarette koozie. You'll simply purchase your cigarettes. You'll take out your old pack from your cigarette koozie and slide it right in there. So I just gave you a business tip, ladies and gentlemen. Not only do we talk about the hard-hitting stuff and we find the big truth here on the Jack Hatfield Show, I give you incredible business tips. Get out there, make a cigarette koozie, one that fits the pack perfectly for who, whatever. You can make a cool pack, a Marlboro pack. I'm sure they're all different sized. Virginia Slims pack for the ladies, be a little longer, and sell that right next to cigarette container sales. And so when they get that pack with that new dead guy on it, they'll go, I don't want to see this dead guy. He's really busting up my buzz. So I'll cover him with this pretty bedazzled koozie, and it'll make the world better. So there you go. So look for Jack Hatfield Show branded cigarette koozie on sale at a cigarette store near you. Here's something I thought was funny. A teenager had sweaty palms. And I don't know about you, but I've had, I sweat in an igloo. I've had a lot of sweat issues in my life. My underarms will pour over a gallon of liquid in the span of a speech. But this person, he wanted a cure. He got tired of his sweaty palms. So she went, and a doctor said, you know what? Botox will help you out. There's nothing wrong with, you know, Botox in your palms, right? So remember, Botox is a bacteria or a, what? It's botulism. It's a protein in the botulism. It has a protein that acts on the junction of the nerve and the muscle, making the muscle less active, and it reduces sweating by blocking the release of the chemical acetylcholine, which stimulates secretion of the sweat glands. Well, the problem is, she got the Botox, palms stopped sweating. But she lost movement of her thumbs. She was left with frozen thumbs. They just stuck out. Her problem with that is she couldn't text anymore. Not the fact that she looked like a doofus. She couldn't text. Oh. Doctors labeled her unfortunate side effect transitory texting impairment.
I'm serious.
She found her thumbs were no longer as dexterous, and she cannot type out text messages to her friends. Of course, Botox does go away, and it's resolved in 6 weeks. Okay, because all Botox is gone out of your body in about 6 weeks or so. Okay. I think that's hilarious. Anyway, we now have a new disease on the on the doctor's market as transitory texting impairment. Okay? Now, let's say you're going to visit somebody in prison. This is a great transition. Let's say you're going to visit someone in prison. Okay? Ooh, not much. Well, if you go visit them in Rikers Island, okay? And you arrive in a low-cut top or a mini skirt, or pretty much, you know, clothes that show you, ladies, you're going to be asked to put on a unflattering neon green t-shirt that comes only in one size, XXL. Okay? And these measures were introduced after some of the inmates at the New York facility were caught trying to have sex with their partners during visitor hours. Let me delve into this a little. I, a woman, have come to visit you in prison, a man, meaning we have been slightly apart, right? Now, we're not even going to go into judging the woman as to why she's visiting the man in prison, because he could have been in prison for something totally different than other stuff. So let's say he just accidentally got thrown in prison. Anyway, so he's, he did a good deed, but it looked bad, so he's in prison. And so, girl misses him, loves him very much, and so she visits him at the prison. Now, remember, this is Rikers Island. This is not where you go if you jaywalk. Or speed. This is a big prison. Rikers Island is a big prison. So anyway, you did something good. Mistaken is bad. You end up in Rikers Island, and your woman comes to visit you. They make her wear this extra large XXL neon green shirt. And that is going to stop you from wanting to have sex with her. Again, you're in prison. We all have heard the stories, but we're going to guess that you're not having regular intercourse in the prison. Girlfriend or wife or significant other is out here, not in prison. And y'all are going to get together. And this one shirt is going to make you go, no way, baby. I love you and all, but that's kind of disgusting. These neon green shirts have cost $5,000 for 800 of them. Okay? The jail supervisor told the New York Daily News he caught several inmates attempting to have sex with their girlfriends in communal visitor areas, which are usually full of children. That's very weird. We won't even go into that part. That doesn't make any sense. The female visitors are very upset about this. In fact, one was overheard yelling, "I have to wear what?" I'm quoting here directly, ladies and gentlemen. "I have to wear what? You're just trying to make me look bad in front of my man? Why'd I even bother? The smocks are washed every day and designed to clamp down on friends and relatives bringing contraband goods into jail. There is 1,770 daily visitors to this jail on Rikers Island. Can you understand what I just said? Now, the president of the Correction Officers Benevolent Association said the money should have been spent on more prison staff because what he said was, with the cuts continue to happen in our agency, we don't have enough manpower to supervise all the inmates. So the green smock is going to act like the ugly pill to the prisoners. Y'all got this, right? So, ladies, when you really have a headache and your man's at the bar or working or coming home from a long trip and you've really got a headache, you can go to this article here and get a picture of this and you go buy yourself a double XL neon green shirt. And that will cut that mood right off. Man comes home and goes, "Well, baby, what you doing?" "I don't know, but look at me." "Oh, baby, I don't want none of that. Green shirt." Real quick, happy news. Scientists in Ireland accidentally discovered some secretions from an animal has the ability to potentially treat up to 70 diseases, including cancer and diabetes. Now, common listeners to my show understand that I had a plus one, and that was disease in the diet. And we will continue to talk about that stuff on this show because you have to get better. Remember, it goes world, nation, family, idiots. We're trying to fix the idiots. So anyway, Queen's University in Belfast, Ireland was doing research on one of the greatest names in the world. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? They were doing research on the waxy monkey frog. That's right, I said waxy monkey frog. This waxy monkey frog hails from South America. And they found that a protein in its skin secretions hold properties that can control the growth of blood vessels. Common listeners of this program know that as anti-angiogenesis. Because guess what you can't do if you don't have blood vessels? You can't have a tumor. You can't be obese. If your body cannot supply blood vessels to the places that need to grow for the tumor or the skin or obesity or fat cells, they simply do not get made. So this protein from the waxy monkey frog... yes. Waxy monkey frog. Now understand this. Researchers found another protein secretion from the giant fire-bellied toad native to China and Vietnam, stimulates blood vessel growth, which could treat conditions like diabetic ulcers, strokes, and repair wounds. So, you got one frog in China and Vietnam that gives your blood vessels the power, and then you got the waxy monkey frog from South America that takes your blood vessels away. That's incredible stuff. That's super incredible stuff. I'm very excited about that. Now, we're always going to talk about crazy stuff here, but I want to bring up something that we talk about. We talked about the mom of the week going to court, right? And we talk about the other mom of the week not waiting for 5 days to call 911. Well, sometimes calls into 911 are hilarious. And I've got some transcripts here of calls made by, remember going down the line, it goes world, nation, family, idiots. These are calls made from some, I believe these are in the idiot category. We'll check and make sure. I haven't read all of these yet, so read these with me, please, if you don't mind. Indulge me a little bit. These are actual transcripts of 911 phone calls from people calling the emergency number 911. Ready? Excellent. All right, so this particular one, we're going to start off with one that was recorded during a citywide power outage, okay? Now, many people probably would be scared of looting, all kinds of stuff from the power outage, so this is probably a very, very good call here. The dispatcher says, 911, fire or emergency? My power's out! Yes, sir, we are aware of that. Do you have an emergency? No, I don't have a damn emergency. I just want to know if I'm going to be getting a rebate for the length of time I'm without power. No, sir, you won't be charged for the electricity you didn't use. Well, it's more like it. That was a... actual 911 transcript. I'm gonna go into the next one. I believe somewhere we're gonna find a good one. 911, what's the address of your emergency? I need to know what I can do about someone who came into my home and put boogers on my wall. Did you invite this person into your home, sir? Yes, but I didn't give him permission to put boogers on my wall. 911, what's the address of your emergency? 911, what's the address of your emergency? Hello? Yes, this is 911. Can I help you? You have the wrong number. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're going into actual transcripts of 911 phone calls. 911, and it's very hard to do the two voices. I really should have recorded these prior, but this is hilarious. 911, what's the address of your emergency? Can I give you my credit card number over the phone to pay on my warrant? What's the offense, sir? Credit card fraud? please state your emergency. Help! Help! Send the police! I've been shot! You've said you've been shot? I've been shot! How many times were you shot? This is the first time. I'm not done. I have four more. We're going to go into 911. What's your emergency? You have got people working in the school right now, and they've been working all night long violating the noise code over here. Sir, a noise complaint is not an emergency call. You'll have to call the business line. Well, how about if I go over and shoot him? Would that be a mercy then? It sure would, yes. Well, all right. I believe the next 911 call will be 911, what's your mercy? They're all dead, never mind. Nine one one, what's your mercy? I need a paramedic. Can you send one or do I have to call someone else? I can take care of that, sir. Just calm down. What's the problem? I saw a medical special on TV last night about a rare disease, and I think I have all the symptoms. My neck. This will be a condition when you and your neighbor have had too many beverages. 911, what's your mercy? I am trapped in my house. Trapped. Is someone holding you there? Someone? No, but there's a frog on the porch. A frog? Probably not a waxy monkey frog. Yes, a frog. Okay, but what is preventing you from leaving the house? I told you, there's a frog on the porch and I'm afraid of frogs. And you don't have another door to the house? No, there's only one door and I can't get out of the house with the frog sitting there. Why don't you take a broom and sweep the frog off the porch? I can't do that. I told you. I'm afraid of frogs. He might get me. I'm not sure I can help you with this frog problem. All right, last one. Some of you are going, you know, the show has really went downhill. But I thought these were just too funny. 911, what's the location of your emergency? Yes, I just want to let you know that I have some information that will help you to solve many of your cases. This is important, ladies and gentlemen. Listen close. The dispatcher, noting that the call originated from the state mental institution. Okay, go ahead with that information, sir. I am prepared to meet with detectives and to reveal the true identity of Cinderella's stepmother. Now, when I read that stuff to you, do you see now how it all comes full circle and how we kind of went off course a little bit by stepping in the middle of world, nation, family idiots? We've got to start a little lower. We've got to start down the pencil a little bit more. And that's what this show is going to be all about. It's going to be about very funny stuff. We're going to talk about politics, nutrition, health. People that have succeeded beyond the beyond. People that have life has hit them in the face and they come back. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things. You know why? Because while we are going to make fun of the idiots, we're also going to point out that there is a lot of the human spirit out there. And if I can get you listening to this show, and we talk about for once, at least have some articles of good news, we're going to have fun doing it. Now, I'm not going to lie. This is going to be a crazy, crazy show. In fact, we already are on point for the Guinness Book of World Records largest show intro. Anyway, this show is going to start giving you some good news on people that have been down and got back up so that you have something to model yourself after. But we're also going to point out the idiots so that the other half of you have something to model yourself after. Oh, no. No, he did not. No, he did not. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, to get all of the wonderful news that we talk about here in little tidbit form, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. Very important for you to do that. Get the news you need to know. One of my last tweets was how they're going to rename aspartame to amino sweet. So it sounds nutritious and fun. I akin it to Calling rape kissy poo. So you can get tweets like that. Follow me on Twitter. It's very important that you do. And then be here every week. Listen to the show. I don't care if you listen to it as a recording or as it's live. Next week we will unveil a guest call-in number. And we will be taking calls. We're not going to take calls all the time. We're going to get into the stories we need to get to. But we will start taking calls and talk about stuff. And I would love every week to get calls from people that have had tremendous hardships in their life and battled back. That's going to be great. Anyway, this is the brand new, the awesome Jack Hatfield Show, right here, right now, all week long, recorded for your listening pleasure. If you just tuned in, you're late. Wait about 10 minutes and hit play again, and you'll hear this exact same show. To listen to the last Fix the Family, Fix America, go one show back. It was done 2 weeks ago. So last time we're going to talk about it. I'm so glad you're here. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's not life. Excuse me. It's life. I mess up the end first time ever. Oh, that's a good first show, yes. Remember, it's life, not luck. This is a show for you and the freaks that like to hear it. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Kept on listening throughout that little tidbit where we said at the end of the show, this is something you need to know. We're always going to hide a little known fact right here at the end. Tweet me with the word booger. Tweet me with the word booger for special prizes. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.